Welcome back all, and welcome to Morocco. We're currently in Marrakesh. I think we're probably, day five into a drive in the Jeep down south to the Sahara Desert. We're going to be spending the next 3 days here in Marrakesh, so I'm delighted to be doing one of these episodes in Africa. Thank you as ever, everyone, for getting in touch, sharing your thoughts and opinions. Without you, it would be impossible to do these episodes on a weekly basis, and I cannot thank you enough. Best place to get in touch and share your opinions, comment section below. And if you have a longer story made with some pictures, you can email hi@choosedeaddobbs.com. This week, I'm going to begin with a continuation of the bike of the week from last week, the Moto Guzzi V50. I had so many brilliant stories and memories shared about your love of these simple Italian workhorses. I've picked one specifically, and this beautifully sums up most people's opinions. This is from Manta Royale. Bought my Moto Guzzi V52 in London as a Kiwi on a big overseas experience in 1982. I didn't even know what it was at the time, but I took it for a ride and fell in love with it in the first 100 meters. I used it as transport to work in London for a while, rode it all around England and Wales, and then my big trip over to Europe. No goals, maps on my tank bag, and that's it. And an old pack on the carrier I had fitted with a tent and a sleeping mat, shorts, undies, and very little else. I ended up going through France, Switzerland, Italy, then got a ferry to Greece and met some Aussies who thought it would be a great idea to go to Israel. So we did, and I stayed for 3 months on a kibbutz, rode all around Israel, met a Danish girl. Yep, good times, and I bloody loved that bike. Manta Royale, that's a story so good that could be a little film. But I wanted to see if the bike I recommended, thank you for sharing that, by the way, has the Moto Guzzi V50 that I recommended on Facebook Marketplace, has someone thought, my lord, that is such a good deal, I need to snap that up immediately. £2,750 in, I would say, probably at best average condition, but running order, and it hasn't sold. But someone else shared this with me, and apologies, I didn't save your name. I lost the email, but I do remember the exact bike you shared. This one's even better. 1980 Moto Guzzi, so no MOT, no tax. You can ride in London without worrying about emissions regulations. It's past all of that. It's been, by the owner, lovingly restored, pretty much from the ground up. The engine's been totally dismantled, rebuilt, new bearings, etc., etc., fresh paint. It looks superb. It's £2,600. But still, even this one in such glorious condition, it was listed 5 weeks ago. Fantastic value for money for a genuinely usable classic motorbike. Moving on, are we, as a nation, as a community, are we at breaking point now for new motorcycle dealers? Constant news of struggle, new motorcycle dealerships closing down. And John has this very interesting insight. Freddie, thought I'd share this announcement from Wrighton Motorrad in Suffolk. Do you know, funnily enough, John, I've just realized two people have said exactly this, so you're in good company here. Announcement from Wrighton Motorrad in Suffolk, England. They are an excellent dealership, but have decided to completely stop selling new BMW models due to associated costs and it no longer being financially viable for them. Another sign of the times, maybe. I think it's a smart move. But anyway, here's the announcement via Facebook. John, here we go, reading it out now. New year, new Wrighton. Please read important notice. We're kicking off 2025 with a big announcement that marks an exciting new chapter for Wrighton Motorrad. As of January 2025, we will no longer be selling new BMW motorcycles. Why the change? It's no secret that staying a BMW new bike retailer comes with substantial requirements. BMW's new corporate identity necessitates a significant investment, and combined with rising competition in the market and the current economic climate, this just isn't viable. Well, that is refreshingly clear-cut and honest, the feedback as to why they've stopped. And it shows really how rotten the entire industry is. If these small dealers that have built up a really strong connection to their local community think there's just no point stocking brand new bikes. Well, if these motorcycle companies, BMW for example, aren't careful, no one's going to want to stock BMW motorcycles. And I'm not just specifically talking about BMW, it could be Ducati, could be Triumph, Royal Enfield. Something has to give here. And if they're not careful, if they maybe aren't a bit more lenient into what they'd allow motorcycle garages to sell and what bikes they'd allow them to stock, then these motorcycle brands, they're not going to have anywhere to sell motorbikes. Now on to, this is good, I like this from last week, buying a vehicle in Germany. So you found your dream motorcycle, but it's in Germany and you want to import it, bring it over to wherever it may be, whether it's the UK or any other country. Someone was very curious about this and they wanted to know, look, is it possible? What do I need to do? So take a listen to this. Freddie, I live in Germany and buying a bike here for export is simple enough. First thing though is to make sure that the motorbike has a valid TÜV, that's MOT. It's required here even for classic vehicles. Second, as both of these are required to register a vehicle, on registering, it will then be issued with an export registration plate. The original plate will then be cancelled. So the export plates are time restricted from 9 days to 12 months. With the buying of export plates, you also get export insurance included. That's a really important bit. This is based on a monthly system of up to 12 months. Here are the expected costs if you decide to buy a motorcycle from Germany. You've got the registration fee at 45 euros. You've then got the export number plate. That's 40 euros with an expiry in the red margin of the number plate. And that expiry date on the red margin of the number plate exactly coincides with the expiry of the insurance. Then you've got the insurance, the export insurance, that is 60 euros a month. So for a 1 month cost to buy the bike and get it back to your home country, it's 145 euros. Honestly, that's probably slightly better than I thought. It really does show, especially if you go and buy a classic motorcycle over 30 years old, it is a genuinely viable option to consider. Going over to Germany, going over to other countries and picking up your dream motorcycle. This just gives a lovely example. There are so many good, for example, BMWs over in Germany for sale. I mean, you've got everything, but for some reason, I always gravitate to the old GSs. I've picked this one, an R1100 GS, 2,700 euros, which is 2,200 pounds. But the Germans seem to look after their motorcycles incredibly well. This one has 86,000 kilometers on the clock, and importantly, I picked it because it's a 1994 model, meaning the only tax you're going to have to pay is 6% of the value of the motorcycle. And it's coming from a private seller, 80 horsepower. Look at that, immaculate drive, the bike is in beautiful condition, and that's the kind of thing, for me personally, I'd be looking at buying if I was heading over to Germany. On now, paying more for less. It doesn't sound appetizing, does it? This sounds like a really bitter pill to swallow. Here's the reality of it. This is from Louis in California. Freddie is an owner of both the 2020 Triumph Bonneville T120 and also a 2022 Triumph Bonneville T120 Goldline Edition. I wanted to share some information I have not seen reported on elsewhere that also might serve as a bit of consumer advice for anyone in the market for one of these bikes. In 2021, Triumph updated the Bonneville range with a host of improvements. The MSRP for the T120 in the US also rose from $11,850 to $12,895. But what I did not see covered by the motorcycle press was the removal of significant amount of equipment previously fitted as standard and converted into optional extras from Triumph. This includes, well, this is an incredible list. So this is a list of parts that now aren't standard on the Bonneville T120 that used to be standard on it. The passenger grab rail, that's $377 option now. The radiator guard, that's now a $95 option. The center stand, well, that's now a $360 option, not included in standard spec. Heated grips, £330. Billet oil filter cap, $22.65. Apologies if I said pounds for some of those. That is a huge list that goes 3, 6, 7. It goes over $1,000 of extras that used to be standard on the bike that now aren't. I can almost not believe that, Louis. It's so incredible. Of course, I do believe you, but it just is an indication of what's happening in the market. Continuing with Louis, this seems to me a sleight of hand by Triumph to mask the extent to which they were marking up their bikes during these inflationary times, while they simultaneously marketed the removal of the $1,200 in standard equipment as weight reduction to consumers in their literature. While these figures are specific to my experience repurchasing a T120 after being T-boned, sorry to hear that, Louis, the story appears to be the same across the modern classics lineup. Louis, California. Louis, as an American, you may not think anything of this, but I have to put this picture up here. This pretty much perfectly sums up what's going on at Triumph and motorcycles in general. Quality Streets back in the 1980s. This used to be a huge tin, I remember as a child, and everyone used to dig their hands in and grab some at Christmas. And if you look at the tin of Quality Streets now, the physical size, it is so much smaller. We are all paying a lot more for a lot less. Louis, thank you for highlighting that. To Stephen now, a labor of love. Pictures included as I read this. Freddie, how about this for bargain biking? It's my Kawasaki ZZR 1100, which I bought for £800. Yes, I had to spend some money on it, but because I did all of the work myself, it now stands at just £1,500 for the bike and the work I've done to it. In 2023, I completely dismantled it. All of the aluminium and steel was corroded. I replaced the bearings, the rubber seals, the oil rings, the O-rings, etc. I resprayed everything that needed painting, including the frame, engine, all brackets and components, and the bodywork. Stephen, you must be a really handy mechanic and body shop expert. Every nut and bolt was either replated or replaced. Wow, that's an in-depth amount of work. Brakes completely overhauled, as were the forks. I think you get the picture. Stephen, the end result of that, I really, really like these bikes. I love the look of them and I love the history behind them, because this was right in the thick of things with the race for pace and power from the big Japanese marks. These bikes, the ZZR 1100s, these were big, intimidating beasts in their day, and they still are now. Made from 1990 to 1997, they had 147 horsepower. So in its day, it was the fastest bike on the planet. This was a serious machine. Does anyone know the bike that came along and took the crown from the ZZR 1100 to become the new fastest bike? God, I hope I get this right, otherwise I'll embarrass myself. Honda Blackbird. And then, of course, you have the Suzuki Hayabusa. Can you imagine these three bikes battling it out? This was a glorious time in Japanese motorcycling. If you like the look of this, you can pick these up. And they're a lot harder to find than I initially appreciated. But it's a 1991 model. Facebook Marketplace, 34,000 miles on the clock, £2,000. It's a lot of bike for the money, it really is. Stephen, congrats on the stunning looking build. To Luca in Australia now. Australian road trips, they're unlike anything else, surely. Freddie, I'm from Melbourne, Australia, and hope to jump on the Moto Guzzi Centauro bandwagon. At 23 years old, I finally got my learner's license in June of 2024, after thinking about it for years. and I ended up with a second-hand Royal Enfield Meteor 350, and I have not looked back. The weekend before Christmas, I went with a group of about 15 riders on my first overnight motorcycle road trip. It was 2 days of fun twisty roads with a spot of camping overnight by a river. I went with my friend who owns a Yamaha 250 Virago and also managed to convince my dad to come, who after 5 years of life getting in the way, finally got out his Motegozzi V10 Centauro, aptly named Black Betty, one of only about 10 that we know of that were ever imported to Australia. That's phenomenal. Some of my earliest memories are of my dad rebuilding the bike himself in the garage and the ground shaking with its roar. It splutters and kicks to life, but get it warmed up on the highway and it purrs like a kitten. Gutsies are really something special, though I will be sticking with my Meteor for a few years yet. Sorry, Dad. Luca. Luca, that pic of all of the bikes lined up, just looking over to the Australian countryside. That's what biking's all about. It's absolutely glorious. That is a proper little adventure. To DB7 now. Freddie. Oh, okay, I have to go back one more time here. Freddie, just some more info on your bike of the week, the Motegozzi from last week. So, Masso, I don't know if that was the person in charge of Gozzi at the time, Masso had just gained control of the company and he went on to buy Benelli, or vice versa. Then he came out with the glorious, this is the important bit, the glorious Benelli 900 and 700 Tre and the 500 Quattro. Okay, I've never come across any of these to the best of my knowledge, but there's one of these three bikes, DB7, you mentioned, that I want to quickly discuss. The Benelli 500 Quattro. This will be my focus for today. This is a beautiful looking bike, made from 1974 to 1983. Although I'll be honest, the dates vary so much from what I can find. Anything from 1973 to 1986, and a few websites saying they only made them in 1976. So apologies for a lack of concrete knowledge there. 500cc, 55 horsepower, and it just sounds like the stats of a good solid workhorse, everyday commuter, simple bike. This is really fun. I like this about Benelli. I'll just jump in here with a little fun fact. This is from Auto Evolution. Benelli is an Italian motorcycle company founded back in 1911 in Pesaro, Italy. Originally Teresa Benelli. Once she became a widow, she invested all of her money into a company in order for her 6 sons to get a decent job. That is Italian family focus. Family comes first. Look after the sons. Now, unfortunately for me, I've found very, very little evidence or very, very little information available about these Benellis. In fact, almost none. My only assumption with this is that these Benelli 500 Quattros, they may only have been sold in Italy and maybe some neighboring countries. Someone tell me if I'm wrong, because such little information. They seem to be ludicrously rare. So I found not one in the UK for sale. Zilch. But I have found this. Oh, there it is again. I forgot how nice this is. I was looking at this just before rushing out for dinner and I just flicked through it. But there it is again. 5,000 euros in Italy, in its home where it should be. 22,000 kilometers on the clock. You know, this is not much, 5,000 euros for such a rare, beautiful bike. And I love the description. Remember what I said about this. If you want to go anywhere to buy a motorbike, whether it's Germany or Italy, if it's over 30 years old, only 6% in taxes you have to pay. This is 1975 model, block capitals, all original, perfectly running. First original paint, fully functioning motorcycle registered in the ASI register, new tires, brakes, carburetor reconditioned, ready to run. I speak English. Ask for more information. Welcome international buyers. Thanks, Alessandro. I now love looking at international classifieds, and that is a glorious looking machine. DB7, thank you for making me aware of that. Let's get on to Bike of the Week now. This is in from JB in Scotland. I want to keep you guessing here. I'm not going to show a pic of JB yet, and I'm not going to mention the bike. See if you can guess it. I begin. Only two owners. This is about the bike JB's bought. Only two owners. 38,000 miles. Full Triumph service history. Strong and smooth. Hinkley muscle from an over-engineered 100 horsepower triple motor shared with the first generation Triumph Speed Triple. 230 kilos wet weight, 25 litre fuel tank, and one of the best riding and sounding bikes I've ridden. Comfortable and dressed up in gentleman classic finery in the very best colour combination to come out of Hinkley, of black and red with gold, hand-painted coach lines. Okay, let's get it up now. I can't wait anymore. It's the Triumph Trident 900. Carrying on. Black and red with gold hand-painted coach lines. It outhandles and outperforms my old Honda CB1100 RS and even stacks up strongly against the Norton Commando 961 that I test rode. It's a true revelation. I picked it up locally for the princely sum of, wait for it, and this is partly why it's Bike of the Week. The princely sum, £1,400. Oh, God, I love biking so much. 1,400 quid. I plan to keep the bike mostly stock with only a few classic mods planned, including a Liberté tool roll, JB, thank you so much, to turn the Trident into a new classic Grand Tourer. I hope to do many miles on it around the UK when the sun finally returns. JB, that is a stunning bike. And you didn't even need to write anything, JB. The look on your face is wording enough for that. I, of course, had to take a look at the classifieds to see what there is. Straight onto Facebook. I could scarcely believe it, honestly. 1995 Triumph Trident. So it's got an MOT, so it's got its test for 6 months, so you're good to go. You don't need to worry about anything. Powder-coated frame. It was rebuilt before I had it in 2019. Was used for shows before me. I no longer use it. Needs to be ridden, very simply. £1,600 for that. I think that is a seriously, seriously cool-looking bike. The bargains out there. This is a British-built Triumph, Hinkley-built Triumph. This is a piece of history here. And it's up for £1,600. These Hinkley bikes are, in a lot of people's opinions, some of the best bikes that Triumph ever made. And I'll wrap it up there. Some of these bikes of the week have been so good and at such a good price, it's almost impossible to ignore. Thank you so much, everyone, for watching this week's episode. I really hope you enjoyed it. From Morocco, and I'll see you in the next one.